Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. This time we're reading 2 Nephi chapter 26. At the end of chapter 25, we sort of cut Nephi off mid-thought. He was talking about the law of Moses and the coming of Christ and how he reconciled the two in his mind. Remember, Nephi lives hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, and he's a prophet who has seen magnificent visions of the future. He knows very well who Jesus is, what his mortal ministry will be like, his death, his resurrection, all that. And he understands very, very well that the law of Moses foreshadows the coming of Christ and his death, and that meaning for us as people and how we get forgiven of sins and can be resurrected ourselves and all that. And so, like I said, the chapter break cut him off mid-thought. He is still sort of continuing talking about the law and the coming of Christ in this chapter. But before we dive into that, I want to draw your mind way, way back to 1 Nephi chapter 12. That was long ago. Nephi, when he had his vision in which he saw the life of Christ, he also saw basically the history of the whole world, at least from that point to the end of the world. And in that vision, he saw a lot of the events that will be recounted in future portions of the Book of Mormon. As we read through, we'll find the story sort of following this outline that Nephi gives us based on this vision. And part of that, in a book called 3 Nephi, which counterintuitively enough doesn't come right after 2 Nephi, it's actually quite a ways into the Book of Mormon, Jesus will come and visit the people in America. And prior to that, immediately prior to that, there will be tons of destruction and lots of people will die. So this chapter, Nephi sort of references this vision he had of all that destruction. So when you hear him talking about destruction, which he's going to do a lot in this chapter, he's referencing that vision he had back in 1 Nephi chapter 12, and it all relates to events that are going to happen in 3 Nephi, I don't know, like chapter 9 or something. Anyway, remember we're talking about the law and Jesus, here we go, chapter 26, verse 1. And after Christ shall have risen from the dead, he shall show himself unto you, my children, and my beloved brethren. And the words which he shall speak unto you shall be the law which he shall do. So remember, he was just talking about the law of Moses. Now he's talking about how Jesus fulfills that law. And when he comes, he will give them a new law. Verse 2, for behold, I say unto you that I have beheld that many generations shall pass away, and there shall be great wars and contentions among my people. And after the Messiah shall come, there shall be signs given unto my people of his birth, and also of his death and resurrection. And great and terrible shall be that day unto the wicked, for they shall perish. And they perish because they cast out the prophets and the saints, and stone them and slay them. Wherefore the cry of the blood of the saints shall ascend up to God from the ground against them. Wherefore all those who are proud and that do wickedly, the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, for they shall be as stubble. And they that kill the prophets and the saints, the depths of the earth shall swallow them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And mountains shall cover them, and whirlwinds shall carry them away, and buildings shall fall upon them and crush them to pieces and grind them to powder. And they shall be visited with thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes and all manner of destructions, for the fire of the anger of the Lord shall be kindled against them. And they shall be as stubble, and the day that cometh shall consume them, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, the pain and the anguish of my soul for the loss of the slain of my people! For I, Nephi, have seen it, and it well nigh consumeth me before the presence of God. But I must cry unto my God, thy ways are just. But behold, the righteous that hearken unto the words of the prophets, and destroy them not, but look forward unto Christ with steadfastness for the signs which are given, notwithstanding all persecution. Behold, they are they which shall not perish. So again, this is a recurring theme throughout the Book of Mormon. Wicked are going to perish, but if you believe in Christ and follow him, you're going to be all right. Verse 9, but the Son of Righteousness shall appear unto them, and he shall heal them. And they shall have peace with them until three generations shall have passed away, and many of the fourth generation shall have passed away in righteousness. And when these things have passed away, a speedy destruction cometh unto my people. For notwithstanding the pains of my soul, I have seen it. Wherefore I know that it shall come to pass. And they sell themselves for naught, for the reward of their pride and their foolishness they shall reap destruction. For because they yield unto the devil and choose works of darkness rather than light, therefore they must go down to hell. For the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when that spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then cometh speedy destruction, and this grieveth my soul. So as a point of clarification, there's a bunch of destruction before Jesus comes. That's in 3 Nephi, I was telling you. The destruction Nephi is talking about now is actually at the very, very end of the Book of Mormon. The Nephites, who are the descendants of Nephi, they all get wiped out by the Lamanites, who are the descendants of Nephi's knuckleheaded older brothers. Verse 12. And as I spake concerning the convincing of the Jews that Jesus is the very Christ, it must needs be that the Gentiles be convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, and that he manifested himself unto all those who believe in him by the power of the Holy Ghost, yea, unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, working mighty miracles, signs, and wonders among the children of men according to their faith. One of the things I really like about Nephi, and something that I think is sort of a hallmark of his teachings, is that there is not just one chosen people. You know, if you read the Old Testament, you can get the idea that the house of Israel, like, they are God's chosen people and everybody else gets destroyed. And Nephi makes it pretty clear that this is not the case. In a lecture to his brothers back when he was building a boat to cross from the old world to the new world, he gave them a lecture about how the Israelites were chosen because they were willing to follow God. And all the peoples they destroyed in the Old Testament, it seems like Israel is always conquering somebody. Those peoples who were destroyed had rejected God. They'd been given opportunities that we don't have recorded in the Old Testament and rejected the true living God. And so he allowed them to be destroyed. So here Nephi is reiterating that again. Everyone, Jew and Gentile, the whole world, is invited to come unto Christ and be his chosen people. It's not an exclusive or a genealogical thing. It's just anyone who follows him gets salvation. It's open. Verse 14. But behold, I prophesy unto you concerning the last days, concerning the days when the Lord God shall bring these things forth unto the children of men. I assume these things being this record we're reading right now. So we're talking about our day now. Verse 15. After my seed and the seed of my brethren shall have dwindled in unbelief and shall have been smitten by the Gentiles, yea, after the Lord God shall have camped against them round about, and shall have laid siege against them with a mount, and raised forts against them, and after they shall have been brought down low in the dust, even that they are not, yet the words of the righteous shall be written, and the prayers of the faithful shall be heard, and all those who have dwindled in unbelief shall not be forgotten. For those who shall be destroyed shall speak unto them out of the ground, and their speech shall be low out of the dust, and their voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit. For the Lord God will give unto him power, that he may whisper concerning them, even as it were out of the ground, and their speech shall whisper out of the dust. This is pretty poetic, and I think it's an allusion to something Isaiah said, but my assumption is we're just talking about this record we're reading now, the Book of Mormon, coming forth in modern times. Verse 17, For thus saith the Lord God, They shall write the things which shall be done among them, and they shall be written and sealed up in a book, and those who have dwindled in unbelief shall not have them, for they seek to destroy the things of God. Wherefore, as those who have been destroyed speedily, and the multitude of their terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away, yea, thus saith the Lord God, it shall be at an instant, suddenly. And it shall come to pass that those who have dwindled in unbelief shall be smitten by the hand of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block. And they have built up many churches. Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God, and preach up unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And there are many churches built up which cause envyings and strifes and malice. We certainly see that now, churches fighting among themselves. Verse 22. And there are also secret combinations, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil, for he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder and works of darkness, yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doeth not anything save it be for the benefit of the world, for he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto them. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, Nay, but he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, by milk and honey, without money and without price. Behold, hath he commanded any that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, nay, but he hath given it free for all men, and he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men to repent. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, nay, but all men are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. So here again is this theme that Jesus and God, they welcome everyone. They're not exclusive. It's not a secret group. It's open to everyone, and anyone who is willing to follow Christ and keep his commandments is going to be saved. Verse 29, he commandeth that there shall be no priestcrafts. For behold, priestcrafts are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise of the world. But they seek not the welfare of Zion. Behold, the Lord hath forbidden this thing. Wherefore, the Lord God hath given a commandment that all men should have charity, which charity is love. And except they should have charity, they were nothing. Wherefore, if they should have charity, they would not suffer the laborer in Zion to perish. But the laborer in Zion shall labor for Zion. For if they labor for money, they shall perish. So here again, like selflessness, and really when we preach and when we share things, it should be not for our own glory, but for the glory of God, and to help people come to salvation, find Jesus, and this open, welcoming salvation that's available to everyone. It only really works if everyone has a chance to hear about it. Verse 32, and again, the Lord God hath commanded that men should not murder, that they should not lie, and that they should not steal, that they should not take the name of the Lord their God in vain, that they should not envy, that they should not have malice, that they should not contend one with another, that they should not commit whoredoms, and that they should not do these, that they should do none of these things, for whoso doeth them shall perish. For none of these iniquities come of the Lord, for he doeth that which is good among the children of men, and he doeth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth them all to come unto him and partake of his goodness. And he denieth none that come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. So there we go. Nephi talking about the free and open nature of salvation. And that's the end of this chapter. In the next chapter, he's going to continue on preaching.